Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasavi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
The last thing we spoke the last time was Prajalpa. So we are clear where we are. We're talking about the second verse and we're discussing the obstacles on the path of devotional service. So we mentioned the first and the second, and there were Atyahara and Prayasha and Prajalpa as well. Yeah, we spoke about this also. Atihara means
overeating or overcollecting.
Okay. And this leads to, if you want to overeat, you have to
over endeavor.
Yeah, you have to over endeavor to get more money, more food. Yes.
How is over endeavoring related to the situation in Bhagavad-gita?
Well, and at first glance, it should be the opposite, that he not that he wanted to over endeavor, but he just wanted to escape the whole endeavor altogether. He wanted to go to the forest. So it's rather the other way around.
Over endeavor to not endeavor.
There is a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says one should never be detached from performing one's duty. How it is connected.
Okay,
I'm trying to think. Basically, it's connected in some Krishna conscious.
One day, things mentioned that he was fighting Krishna, which is not mundane thing. Yeah. No, sometimes devotees trying to achieve something for Krishna, they are over endeavoring, and it doesn't bring, you know, the good results. So it was not really for Krishna. So how to deal with these things with over endeavoring
for Krishna?
Yes, you think it's for Krishna.
Basically, that means they're acting in the mode of passion, and they don't have clear understanding what is their position. They think they can take it, but they can perform Hare Krishna. They can be very active and they can sleep less and eat less, but at one point it becomes too much for them. And they go to the other extreme, and just Rajas leads to Tamas, and then they become inactive. They start blaming others. Classical example is Guru gives an order and the disciple is completely surrenders to the order, and then after a few years or a few months he cannot do it anymore and he blames the guru. So how to understand? Basically, it is good to to try our best to fulfill the orders of the guru, but also we should consider our conditioned nature. Better to do little less but steady and be able to continue year after year, much better than to do big things for a few months or for a few years and then just collapse. Go to Thomas, basically. So we gave examples of Prajalpa. You remember? So what is Prajalpa first of all?
Nonsense talk.
Village talk. Gramya Kata. Talks not connected to Krishna. Yes? You wanted to say something? So we are talking about criticizing devotees, useless arguments, watching TV and internet, not connected, newspapers, karmic movies. So what will be the result of prajalpa? Yes, that means we're wasting our time at the moment. We don't remember Krishna. And even worse than this will be that... Yes?
Well, by talking about these mundane things, we're constantly contemplating them, so therefore we become attached to them.
Exactly. This is what I was just about to say. By doing this, first of all, we waste our time in the moment. We're not Krishna conscious. This is already a lost. Then, by contemplating these topics, when we stop with our prajalpa and try to go back to our Krishna conscious activities, then the mind will continue actually to repeat all these things to us, because he has been absorbed in them. So this is even worse. Yes? Yeah. It's very easy. Actually, it's one of the types of prajalpa. Yeah. Fault finding. Yeah. I guess this will be the worst one. Fault finding. Better talk about the weather or something. If you have to, you know, to speak prajalpa, find some more innocent one. Yes?
Also, the Advaita Swami, he mentions that because when we're wasting our time, it's actually against the principle of gambling, not gambling, because we are gambling that we'll have that time, you know, before we leave the body. So
exactly.
It's actually breaking at a subtle level of one of the regulation principles.
Also.
In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on these two verses in his book, Bhakti Aloka,
yeah.
He explains, he's talking about prajalpa, and there he takes the meaning as idle talk. And he says that our prajalpa should be about Krishna. And so even when we're talking idly, it should be about Krishna.
Somehow connected.
Yeah.
I remember reading Raghunath Das Goswami, I believe he says in one place that I prefer to talk prajalpa with the Vrajavasis than to talk about high Vedic philosophy with non-devotees or anything like that. Because prajalpa with Vrajavasis, that means you're going to talk about Krishna. Because in the spiritual world, there is always going on this gossip. They're always gossiping. Especially young girls that gossip about Krishna all the time. You know, Krishna was with this girl, and then he's such an unreliable person, you know, this Krishna. He went with this other girl, and it's always gossip going on. But it's Krishna conscious, and it's good. And it is produced, it's generated by love, by affection for Krishna. It is not generated by envy, by material qualities. What Bhakta Morton said was very interesting also. It is risky. It's it's in a sense it's you're gambling. Swadhar Maharaj was giving an example. Just imagine you are doing this, how they call this, crosswords? And then there is a word you have to find. Let's say it's a word. Find a synonym of a dog with five words, or five letters, six letters. So now you're deeply in thought about what is this dog with six letters, and then at that moment you die. Then what will be your next birth? You have to take birth as a dog. It's a gambling. It's a very risky business. Because we don't know when this moment will come. So what is the solution, prajalpa? How do we fight with this?
We hear about Krishna and then talk about
him. Shravanam Kirtanam. Chant Hare Krishna. Yes, share between the devotees. Try to, how we say, churn the nectar. Enlighten each other about Krishna. This is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, one of the Chatur Shloki of Gita. Matchita Madgata Prana Bodhyanta Parasparam Katayantascha Mamnitam Tushanti Charamanticha. The devotees, they find satisfaction, happiness when they enlighten one another about Krishna. Of course, this also should be done properly. Not from false ego. Not following the mood when you try to enlighten the devotees about Krishna. You shouldn't think, I know something you don't know. Because then the reaction will be, basically, so why are you telling me this? I already know this. I know even more than this. So who you are that you're going to enlighten me about Krishna? I'm already more enlightened than you are. And this spoils the whole thing, whole interaction. Yes, Prabhu.
There's also a subtle balance in this because sometimes in this, you know, revealing your mind, you have to listen to a lot of talks about the field and everything. And if you're coming in too fast trying to give a solution,
yeah,
the person might find that you didn't give time enough to understand what the field. So if
yeah,
they're talking from the level of the mind, you have to listen to a little more. But if you can tolerate it and then connect it to Krishna at the right time, then they will be able to accept what we used to have, at least in Denmark. And that people, they would come and tell you a problem immediately. You just tell them, you know, you have to chant some more, you have to read some more, you know, not giving a practical application of according to specifically in that situation. So especially with people who are traumatized already,
we are very, we like giving solutions to people, don't we? Immediately. Just. And that's a very good point. Because people don't feel that you gave proper attention to them. And they feel like you are just kind of like a machine for giving answers. Like, you don't even think, you don't appreciate the person as a person. You don't try to sympathize with him. You don't try to understand him really. You just give the verse from Bhagavad Gita and that's it. And if he takes it, that's good. If he doesn't, too bad for him. That means he's really a rascal. And then go to the next one. You don't have to waste time with these people. You know, they don't accept your authority. They don't accept Krishna. Very good point. I think we kind of matured a bit, and we don't do this so often nowadays. I don't see it so often. And I think now we are going to the other extreme.
Yeah, now it's coming to the other extreme. Yeah.
I think that I feel. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have to respect also those people that are already traumatized from this experience. For the newcomers, it's not such a big problem. But for some of the friendlies that has been around, yeah, for some time,
now it's a matter to make them more basically to gain back their trust on emotional level, and maybe later they can hear some philosophy also.
Because it is actually a problem, because in many places around the world there are literally thousands of people who they accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah.
They are having an identity of being a servant of Krishna, but they don't really have the education to be able to apply everything that they are in Krishna's service. So if we can just be sensitive enough and, you know, preach to them in the right way, then we have a big movement. Actually, we don't have to go out and find new people. We have to do that as well, but I mean, like,
yeah,
you know,
I understand.
It will be less difficult because they're actually
they're already devotees.
Yeah.
So they are devotees, but they have difficulties dealing with the temple devotees, with temple authorities. They are fright and this kind of situation.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very common. Right. So the next one is Niyamagraha. It's an interesting word. Agraha means grabbing. And agraha means letting go. Niyama refers to rules, regulations. So the word can mean either fanatical following or neglecting the rules. Following without proper understanding, just for the sake of following, or just being neglectful, not following. Both of these can be designated as niyamagra. Let's see. Srila Prabhupada translates niyamagra. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. So the first one defines the conservatives and the second one the liberals in the jargon that we're using in our school. Well, I guess it has universal application also. So the purpose of niyama, of the rules and regulations of the scripture, is, as Srila Prabhupada explains, to make spiritual advancement, which means to attain love of God. And there is a famous verse we all know from Shastra, where it is explained what is the main goal of all these rules and regulations. They boil to two things. Yes, by remembering him. Yes, and never forgetting him. So we should always remember Krishna, never forget him. So all these rules and regulations, they should be aimed at this goal. To always remember Krishna and never forget him. We should follow all the rules of sadhana bhakti with this aim in mind, and not just because we have to follow them. And we should also shouldn't be neglected to the rules either, just because they are troublesome or we are lazy. In Bhagavad Gita, in 17th chapter, this is described as a problem. Krishna describes these two types of persons, because the chapter is called the divisions of fate, and then Krishna describes there are two types of persons who don't follow Shastra, and they have faith in something else. They have concocted their own religion, basically. One of them, the first group, they don't follow Shastra, and they gave up Shastra because of laziness and because Shastra is troublesome. To follow Shastra sometimes is trouble for them. It is not approved. And there are these examples we have from Shastra. Interesting examples about Govinda, who was servant of Lord Chaitanya, his personal servant. I guess you all know the story. Lord Chaitanya was lying. He was resting. And then Govinda had to go to the other side of the room. So he stepped over Lord Chaitanya. And this is normally against the rules. You don't do this with devotees, so to speak, about the Supreme Lord. It's offense. It's offensive. But it is not considered an offense because the goal of Govinda was to serve the Lord. He didn't do it because he was neglectful or he was just following the rules for the sake of following. And then we have another example from our own history, ISKCON history. So the first one, Govinda was... the first example, Govinda was apparently... neglecting the rules, but actually this was not a mistake. And in the second example, we have the opposite case. There was this, in America, this pujari, Prabhupada was taking darshan, and he was appreciating the beauty of the deities. It was a very emotional moment for Prabhupada. He was experiencing some, obviously some spiritual emotions. And then because the time came for closing the altar, just the pujari just came and just in front of Prabhupada just closed the altar and he followed the rules. Yes, it is, that's proper. At 1:15, curtain is closed. It doesn't matter who is there, within the temple. But it was a mistake. You understand the point? So he followed the rules, but he followed the rules for the sake of following the rules, without thinking, with no intelligence. So this is considered wrong. Basically, we can summarize that for our sense gratification, we cannot neglect the rules, or because of our ignorance. We shouldn't neglect the rules. We should always follow the rules. But if the reason for neglecting the rules is to satisfy Krishna and the devotees, then it could be compromised. They could be neglected. Yes.
On this point, is there any connection to that example you gave before of devotees who are very staunch in fasting, and then they are, after some time, they are falling to the other extreme and eating too much? You know, for example, some devotees are like not taking sweets, but in the areas they're taking sweets like anything.
Yeah.
Is that because they have?
I think everybody here had this experience.
Is there any connection to this principle?
To Niyamagraha?
Yeah,
sure. Yes. It will be just the element of coming from ignorance, because he doesn't know himself. He doesn't know how much he can, how advanced he is, how much he can tolerate. He doesn't have a clue. And he thinks he can just jump on this high level and show up himself as an advanced devotee. And then he falls to the ignorance, because he cannot do it. So you can say part of it is he doesn't know himself, and he doesn't know how to apply also Shastra, but they're very much connected, all these things, because they're all based on insufficient knowledge, or there is element of ignorance there, and false ego trying to pose as someone who you are not. But following Ekadashi, it is stated that if you can follow Ekadashi fast and just do your sadhana, then you can do this. It is very beneficial. But if you follow and you fast, and then you think about food all the time, then you better eat. Then when you eat, then your mind is peaceful, then you can do your sadhana. You can serve Krishna. But if you just fast and can't do any service during the day, then better you eat and do service. I'm not sure if I'm getting there.
But it seems that in that example I gave, it's such
a Niyamagraha and both of them.
Yeah. Because they don't understand, you know, that they should apply the principle according to time, place, and circumstance. So it means that they didn't really understand the sambandha of the principle.
The conservatives and the liberals together.
And they are thinking that the principle is actually what is achieving the result, because they are thinking that from fasting, you know,
they'll get,
you know, I will be Krishna conscious. That's not the thing. It is there to increase our Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, they take the immediate result of the activity as the goal, but not the spiritual advancement, pleasing Krishna. Yeah. Sounds logical to me, at least. Prabhupada says we should follow the regulations with firm conviction and understanding. It's very important. Just a few words. But so firm conviction covers the conservatives part. That we are convicted.
Convinced.
We're convinced that Veda is absolute, and it is our Purusha, and these rules are coming from God, and we should follow them, and this is very beneficial. But this faith is not blind. We follow with understanding. when these both are together, then the process works very nicely. Then the next one is Jhana Sangha, which means, yes, this is the definition Lord Chaitanya gives, who is a devotee. One time they were asking him, who is a devotee, and he answers, Asat Sangha Tyaga, Eivashnava Chara. Devotee is rejecting the association of worldly non-devotees, basically. Different kinds of non-devotees. And I remember when I was reading this for the first time, I thought that this doesn't sound like a very spiritual, uplifting, positive definition of who is a devotee. I was rather surprised. Why Lord Chaitanya puts so much emphasis on this? So who are these non-devotees? That means association with basically with ordinary people. They should be avoided. In Bhagavad Gita we find that this is one of the elements of knowledge. You remember this? We were reading this during Ishupanishad study. That one should be not attached to the general mass of people. This is what means. Not attached to non-devotees. Why? Because when we associate with non-devotees, then by a power of this association, we get infected by material desires. We already have so many material desires as devotees. This is why we are not pure devotees yet. Most of us. And when we associate with non-devotees, these material desires that we have, they are by the power of devotional service, they are kind of put at bay, you know. And some of them, they are already purified and connected to Krishna. But when we associate with sense enjoyers, these material desires, they can very quickly overpower us. Because they get stronger. When you see example of someone who is enjoying his senses, then for neophyte devotees like us, it is very natural that we also want to, because we are envious by nature, our material nature is functioning on this level, then we also will try to enjoy. We want to enjoy. From Bhagavad Gita, we know these two verses. They describe that second chapter, 62 and 63. How they start? Sangha, Dhyato Vishyampam Sam Sangha Steshu Bajayate. From association, desire is formed, arises. When we meditate on the sense objects, then we develop attachment to them. And desire is crucial, because desire is actually what controls our minds. The mind is very subtle, but desire is more subtle than the mind. And the mind is controlled by desire. The whole goal of our process is to change the nature of our desires, because we'll still be controlled by desire when we advance in devotional service. Then we'll have desire to serve Krishna. Now we have desire to serve our senses. So by avoiding bad association, then we keep ourselves, because avoiding bad association means we associate with devotees. That means we'll keep our mind in Krishna conscious environment. He will be exposed from Krishna Katha to Krishna Katha, and then these material desires will be gradually purified, connected to Krishna. They will become spiritual desires. Yes.
I have a question.
Yes, Prabhu. Go ahead.
The principle of avoiding ordinary people.
Yeah.
Associated with non-devotees. Yeah. It seems contradictory to the Nectar of Devotion, that says that we shouldn't be neglectful of ordinary dealings.
Well, this is to not be neglectful in ordinary dealings means one should properly take care of. Actually, it's a broader category than this. Ordinary dealings, one should take care of one's health properly. One should take care of the temple car. One should, when we see the neighbor who is a non-devotee, you should say hello, good morning, sir, or something like that. But ordinary dealings are different from association. There's a big difference. Ordinary dealings, you just go and buy medicine from the, from the shop, drugstore. But you don't reveal your mind to the shopkeeper. You don't confidentially inquire from him. You don't give him a gift. You don't have these six types of loving exchanges with the non-devotee. You don't do this. It's just ordinary dealings. You just be polite, you say a few words. How are you? How is your wife? How are the kids? Nice to see you. You keep it formal. You don't make friends with them. This is what it means. Because if you make friends with them, with the non-devotees, there is a funny story from Panch Tantra about the crocodile and the monkey. You know the story? Anyway, I may tell the story later. But the moral of the story is that they will eat your heart. If you give your heart to this kind of persons, you won't get it back. So this is the difference. Ordinary dealings and six types of loving exchanges. We do this with devotees only, not with karmas. So there is no contradiction. Yes? Accepting gifts? Yeah. Yeah, well, we should, obviously, but you see, there is a difference. How do you do this? You give association or you accept? You give prasadam because this is Krishna and you want to benefit them, but you don't take from them. You don't take prasadam, you don't take their food, for example. They might want to give you something as an exchange. You don't. It is, because Prabhupada says that even the karmis, they have this loving exchanges. They do this. It is, but it's not spiritual. It's on the material platform. So we keep all these intimate things inside the association of the devotees. We don't make friends with non-devotees.
So like family giving gifts and things, is that a loving exchange? Or is it just a duty?
Can be both. You mean inside the... It's exchange of love, but it's material and it doesn't have spiritual benefit. But we'll talk about this. Prabhupada speaks about this in the purport, in the verse 4, I believe. There he explains. Everybody is doing this. These six are common for the devotees, for the non-devotees, but the results are different. Yes.
So does that mean that we should also lightly refuse it if they are offering us a gift?
It depends on the circumstance. These are details. We can adjust the details according to time, place, circumstance. But the principle is that it's a very simple principle. All the needs that we have for emotion, feelings, being attached to someone, to love and to be loved, these are to be experienced inside our family of devotees, not outside. Very simple. You can make compromise, I've seen Sukadana Maharaj was giving class. No, there was there were two girls came. They were from they were taking interview from Maharaj. This was in Holland for some can't remember now, some magazine or some radio, I don't know. Or they were students, and then they brought cookies with them from Maharaj. Maharaj took the cookies and ate them in front of them. He just wanted to please them. They were not offered. He was not even sure, I guess, the ingredients. They looked vegetarian, but he just wanted to please them. To accept something, because this is very good for them. They give something to Sadhu. Not that he wanted these cookies, you know. He has plenty of nice things to eat, but just cookies. Who cares about this? But so you could do such things. You can make compromises, but the principle should be kept intact. You don't make friends. We don't try to have deep relationship with non-devotees. You keep this inside family. Me too, I also do this sometimes. But it's being offered to Krishna, so she's benefited. Okay. And we see, because we are talking, just before that, we are talking about that we should avoid the association of sense enjoyers. We see this in the example of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Maharajaprata Parudra, he was the king of Orissa and he was a pure devotee. Still, Lord Chaitanya would not meet with him because he is a king. King is Vishayi, he is a sense enjoyer. And the sannyasi, even devotee, who is not a sannyasi, they should avoid this kind of company. And also we see in Bhagavatam, when Maharaja Parikshit started to fast, and he went on the bank of the Ganga, and then Shukadeva Goswami came, Maharaja Parikshit told him, I'm very, very fortunate because usually people like me, we are sense enjoyers, I'm a kshatriya, I'm a king, emperor. Persons like me, low persons, we cannot see persons like you because you avoid us. Because we are sense enjoyers. He was, of course, very humble, but this is the principle. So here we come. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in ordinary dealings is not accepted as association. So, but we shouldn't exchange love with non-devotees. Our heart is reserved for Krishna and for the devotees only. We don't give our hearts to non-devotees. You'll have very painful experience if you do this. Okay. We will end up here. Continue tomorrow.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.